restoring our parks, their condition, and the necessary steps to be taken to remedy the present problem. You've seen the newspaper article, the TV article, the general uprising, as it has become for the entire state, demanding adequate funding for our parks. When Jim Fraterno of Associated Press called me this morning, he asked me if I was surprised at the number of newspaper articles that were being seen throughout the state regarding our parks and park funding. He said, "You remember when I quoted you in the newspaper back in the spring, I said we were going to have a firestorm raging by the time the legislature meets." He says, "Do you think we can keep it going?" I said, "You bet we can. We've got it this far. We and everybody working together. I feel that we're on the right track now. And with all of us working in concert on behalf of the park system and all its holdings, we can make this thing come to pass in the next legislature." And I want to tell you that I am so proud to have been appointed a member of the advisory committee. We have worked very hard, very long, and conferred with each other and others. And we'll make our presentation tomorrow morning, so we'll see you and perhaps a good bit of this audience there at that time. Thank you.
Beth, thank you, and thank you for the work you've done. I knew I made a good choice when I appointed you to that committee, but you and I have been working on this for a while, at least since 2000, at least the last 6 years. So it is a surprise sometimes when people ask us, "Yeah, what do you think of the coverage?" Some days I want to say, "What took you so long?" But the important thing is people are focused on it. But I really want to thank you and your members, because your members really represent all those parks, and they're the folks that have really been sticking with us for a long, long time. And I want to thank you and your new board members, including my friend Bob Armstrong.
Yes,
serves on one of our task force.
He expected to be here today, and I was going to introduce him, and I left off that part of my speech. But I would like to recognize Linda Evans, who is our administrator here. Linda
does a great job. Linda is another great product of Parks and Wildlife.
And we met you first time at the Sunset Commission meeting.
That's right. That's been a few years ago.
Yes,
so we're finally where we need to be. So I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Beth. Scott Stegall and Ron Lewis, be ready.
Thanks, sir. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner, for allowing us to be before you today. I come to talk to you about Doctors Creek State Park, which is on Cooper Lake in northeast part of Texas. We're 80 miles northeast of Dallas, 20 miles south of Paris, 19 miles north of Sulphur Springs, Texas. In January, our Doctors Creek State Park was closed. It's one of the newest facilities probably the Parks and Wildlife have. It was open in the early mid-90s, has 42 overnight campsites, has the only handicapped boat ramp on Cooper Lake, and this park was closed due to funding. And I apologize, but I'm the mayor of the city of Cooper, and I understand budgeting, and I understand funding problems and having to make cuts. But this is a very big probably the Parks and Wildlife have. It was open in the early mid-90s, has 42 overnight campsites, has the only handicapped boat ramp on Cooper Lake, and this park was closed due to funding. And I apologize, but I'm the mayor of the city of Cooper, and I understand budgeting, and I understand funding problems and having to make cuts. But this is a very big economical impact upon our little small community. I'm mayor of a town of 2,200 people. We have a lot of local little businesses, businesses that depend upon a lot of weekend traffic. And when the park and overnight camping was closed, it took that away from these businesses. We have some antique stores, as many other places have, that stay open on weekends. A lot of times there was people from the Metroplex area that was camping that was spending $200, $300, $400, $500 a weekend in some of these little stores. So it's a must in our little community to have Doctors Creek Park open back up on a full-time, fully staffed facility in our area. We also had a natural nature trail out there on that park for school kids from all around that area was brought to study different parts of nature, which is no longer available for these kids. Now, you know, the park is open back up for day use only, part-time basis right now for the rest of this year, but we need you to please do what you can do and keep us informed on what we can do to make sure that our park will remain open and be such a vital park to our area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your time. Mr. Ron Lewis next, and back up is Mr. Jay Stewart.
Commissioners, thank you for allowing me to be here today. I am Ron Lewis. I am with the Friends of Dr. Creek State Park in Cooper, Texas, and in Delta County. Delta County, by some magical means, was designated a metropolitan county. The tallest thing we got in our county are water towers right now, and they're half dry. We have no grass, been awfully dry, and our lake is 14 feet low. And I'm hoping Mr. Phil can take care of that. You can do that, Phil. He said he could.
If he can take care of that, he needs to take care of South Texas also.
He can do anything. He's told me that before. He's my friend. Doctors Creek Park is very important to us. Our whole county has 5,000 people. The second largest employer in our county probably is you guys, because all your people and personnel that are at the state park. The number one employer is an independent school district, of course. But it's more important than that. We like to go out there and go fishing, and we like to go out there and enjoy the park. But what we really enjoy is the people coming up there and loading their money and going home. That's very important. It's critical to us that that continue to be that way. We are the newest Friends organization with you in a partnership. We're just 2 months old. We're getting started. And I want to compliment one other employee of your organization, and that's Rodney Franklin. And Rodney has done an excellent job. We have an agreement to do some things in the future, and one is to come to Austin. And we're not going to come alone. We're going to come with some people. And hopefully, at Rodney's direction and his coordination, we'll know who and when and where to meet with all the legislators to endorse the state parks of Texas getting full funding and nothing less. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Lewis. We really appreciate your efforts and support. Mr. Jay Stewart, followed by Mr. Randall Loftus.
Mr. Vice Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Cook, my name is Jay Stewart. I'm a lawyer here in Austin with the law firm of Hans Scarborough Wright. I'm here to talk about a specific issue as opposed to the global issues that we've been hearing about this afternoon. It regards a piece of property that the Parks and Wildlife still owns title to. It's Eagle, near the Eagle Mountain Lake Lake in Tarrant County. It's about 400 acres. The land was acquired by Parks and Wildlife. Parks and Wildlife staff evaluated it and found that it was not appropriate to build a state park on this property. And one of our clients is a developer in Tarrant County, and they've been working with the staff of your agency for quite a few years to try to facilitate a solution to this unencumbered land, to put it into some positive use. In December, Governor Perry put it on the underutilized asset list. which takes assets of the state, gives it to GLO to sell for the benefit of whatever the governor decides, and the governor appropriately and thankfully decided that this asset should be sold, and the proceeds of selling the surface would go towards the acquisition of another park. Bob Cook and his folks have worked diligently and done an excellent job of locating other parks or land in the area to provide a much more appropriate and larger park for the folks of Tarrant County and the surrounding communities. There's been discussions about of turning this into a county park or having the Parks and Wildlife do something with it. The fact of the matter is it's been deemed an underutilized asset, is in Jerry Patterson's bailiwick now to do something with it, and it is our desire to continue to work with the GLO, the governor's office, and your fine department to maximize the return of this asset. I think there is a opportunity here for either a public-private joint venture or a private venture to utilize this land for minimal development, maintain the park-like structures, the park-like beauty of the land, but also provide this agency sufficient funds to purchase and operate a more appropriate park for those folks. We think we can be part of the solution. We will continue to work with you and your staff, and as I said, GLO and the governor's office to provide that. We wanted to come and make sure that you knew that there are alternatives out there, and we'd like to be part of the solution to this fiscal issue, and I'm available for any questions.
Questions? Mr. Stewart, we appreciate your being here, and we will continue to work with your group and other groups relating to this property.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Loftus? And Mr. Steve Lerma, back up.
Hello, my name is Randall Loftus, and I represent approximately 150 residents of Tarrant County, from whom I obtained signatures over the past 5 days while also running my business, by the way. And, you know, one thing I noticed the other day, or today at lunch, when I was having lunch, I ate at this catfish restaurant just down the street, and they had a big fish on the wall. And, you know, everything's big in Texas, reminded me of that, except for the budget for the Texas Parks and Wildlife, it seems. So, we've had some other folks who have mentioned about our past, remembering our past. And when I came in this building, I found out it was built in 1976. The 400 acres on Eagle Mountain Lake, which was purchased by Texas Parks and Wildlife in the early 1980s, around that time was the oil bust, as I recall. Recall it very well, since I was looking for a job in Dallas-Fort Worth area at the time. Couldn't find one. But for some reason, the leaders of this state decided to hold on to that property for the purpose of making it a state park. They didn't sell it at that time. They didn't give it to developers. Now we find that there is an opportunity for this property. If you've been in North Tarrant County, you may have seen that development is really, that area is really growing. And there's plenty of opportunities for developers. And I would like you just ask you to preserve this beautiful 400 acres on Tarrant County for folks in that area and the rest of the state to enjoy the beauty of that area. And I'd also like to point out that right across the road from this 400 acres is plenty of land that could be available for development also, if someone just wanted to purchase it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Loftus. I missed the last speaker, unfortunately. I had to step out. But I guess you're aware of the work we've been doing the last 3 months on that property in pulling together the Trust for Public Land, Tarrant County, the Regional Water District, Nature Conservancy, and other groups to effect a local park
there on that 400 acres and also acquire a large regional park, 5,000 acre plus, that's consistent with our long-term plan. So we would, you know, the goal being two parks.
Mr. Fitzsimmons, I beg your forgiveness on that subject, but I'm I run my own business.
Oh, okay.
And I'm very involved in that.
It did have a little bit of coverage in the press, but anyway, just so you know, I appointed a task force, one on Eagle Mountain Lake and another on the larger park opportunity, so that we could get that done. And the task force that's working on Eagle Mountain Lake is headed up by Nan McRaven, the Trust for Public Land, and they're doing making really good progress in trying to put together a program that would get that done.
I guess my standpoint on that is that, again, there are plenty of development opportunities in Tarrant County already.
Well, I'm sorry. The project that I tasked them to work with, is the result would not be development. It would be a park.
Thank you very much, sir.
You bet. All right. Thanks. Randall Loftus. And then Steve Lerma. Oh, I'm sorry. It was Steve Lerma. And then Tim Madrigal will be ready.
That was a very good pronunciation of my name. Thank you. My name is Steve Lerma. Pardon me?
I am from Carrizal Springs.
Oh, all right. You can speak a little Spanish there. Well, my name is Steve Lerma, and I'm coming to you as a citizen and as a candidate, Democratic candidate for county commissioner in the area of the 400-acre park. I was also in the audience when you came to visit us about a month or two ago to speak to the citizens of Tarrant County and the residents of Eagle Mountain Lake in that particular area, and I just want to let you know, Chairman Fitzsimmons, that the residents of that area heard you, and I'm here to present to you and read a very simple but straightforward petition that was allocated in about 5 to 6 days, which represents about 800 names. It's a cross-section of Tarrant County. It goes above demographics, represents wealthy individuals and middle-income people, Democrats and Republicans, and it simply states this: we, the following, are residents of Tarrant County, and we want the 400 acres fronting Eagle Mountain Lake maintained as parkland to be used for all the public. I do realize that I'm speaking to the choir, and that's something that I heard you mention. We do know that the land commissioner, Patterson, is the person who's in charge of that particular decision at this particular time. And I really don't know why I was elected to come up here and talk to you, Dad. The fact that I own my own business, and I guess I got all the time in the world. But as a young man, I remember going to Eagle Mountain Lake and learning how to dive, learning how to swim, and learning about bikinis. So I've got very fond memories of Eagle Mountain Lake. Unfortunately, this particular piece of property has been unused for 20 years, and now that it's about to be given away or sold, people are up in arms about it, and that's really unfortunate. I don't know whether it was the commissioner's fault or the Texas Parks and Wildlife fault, but I'm here today also not as a tree hugger or as an avid PETA member, but I am a hunter and a conservationist and a camper, and it pleases me every morning to go by this particular park and show my little girls on the way to school that there's deer running around, there's roadrunners, and just all kinds of wildlife. And fortunately, I only live about a half a mile away from that particular area. And we really love that particular place. And unfortunately, about a month and a half ago, about 20 or 30 acres of it burned, and the majority of it was almost lost. And I was there watching as the flames were 30 or 40 feet in the air, and a small house that a lady grew up in was burned, and it was just a devastating thing to see. If elected as county commissioner, I will do everything in my power, if the board or the land commissioner allows us to maintain local control, to allocate Tarrant County funds to marginally develop this particular park so that the public can use it. At this particular time, there is absolutely no privately owned land out there. I mean, public land where people can use beaches or anything of that sort. There's Twin Points, and that is about to be taken back by the Texas Water Board and under their control. I have absolutely no idea what plans they're going to do, but this represents the only particular area in our lake that we can hopefully call public and utilize. Also wanted to let you know that this is the first part of a letter writing campaign that the citizens who have elected me to come here and speak before the board is attempting to make. We're going to contact our senators, we're going to contact our representative, and we're going to do everything in our power to maintain and affect the decision making process to keep this park as parkland. Once again, my name is Steve Lerman. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Steve. And
One other thing. And I've also been told that anybody that goes against this, the land developer, they're going to have a fight on their hands. And I'm just letting them know that.
I appreciate that. And to let you know, the county's part of that task force that I appointed, and they've been very helpful, as has been the office of Senator Brimer, Senator Shapiro, and Representative Guerin.
Thank you.
So,
I'm going to present this.
Like you say, you're preaching to the choir, and we've got a group of people that are working hard on getting us to that goal, and Commissioner Patterson's given us some time to get that done. So I have every expectation they'll come up with a good plan.
Chairman Fitzsimmons, thank you very much.
You bet. Tim Madrigal? And Stan Winters, be ready.
Got a little handout.
Yes, sir. Go right out. There you go.
I think this is going to be a little change of pace from what I've heard here before, so there's no contention here.
We cover lots of territory.
Lot of ground here. Maybe a little revenue source.
Not really.
Revenue source.
There you go. Yeah.
You're bringing this money. Good.
My name is Tim Madrigal. Thank you very much for the privilege of speaking today. I live outside of Dripping Springs in Hays County. I'm a lifetime hunting and fishing licensee, as are the rest of my family. But today, the pertinent reason I'm here is to talk to you about my role as a wildlife manager for a 4,500-acre low-fence ranch in Llano County and another smaller ranch in Live Oak County. My purpose is to propose to you to consider a new non-resident hunting license restricted to antlerless and spike buck deer only, and further restricted to those counties that have a special late general season. As you know, the only license that allows any non-resident to hunt any deer is the type 102, which is $300. I suggest that we institute consider a new non-resident license just for those special extended seasons, for about $100. That's just, you know, a ballpark suggestion I have. As we're all aware, many counties in our state have an overabundance of deer, and Mother Nature has not been kind this year. And we're going to have a tough situation come the winter. But several years ago, y'all took it under your under advisement, some recommendations, and instituted special late season for surplus animals in quite a number of Texas counties. This proposal is just an extension of that philosophy, except it is for a reduced cost license to encourage non-resident participation. On the lease that I manage, there are 22 hunters, of which I am also one. And each year, with guidance from the Extension Office and our local wildlife management representative, we get harvest recommendations. And try as I may, I just cannot get our members to harvest enough spikes and does. However, many of our hunters have relatives and friends, particularly young people, and I know there's a thrust for more participation from young men and women in Texas, but this extends outside of our borders. And on many occasions, those hunters have said that they have family members or friends out of state that they would love to have come to our state and participate and shoot generally their first doe. But the $300 is just a little bit high for them. I propose that you establish a lower cost license to encourage this underutilized resource. And you might even think about adding some harvest allowances for our expanding feral hog population. I don't think anybody would disagree with that aspect. Any questions?
There's no
no season on them or a value on them at all.
I would just like to get some more people in there into the mix.
There's nothing to stop it.
So,
we agree with you, but there's from a regulatory standpoint, it's open season, no bag limit on feral hogs. So
right.
I agree with you. Thank you very much for your work and for your work in wildlife management. Tim, appreciate it. Stan Winters and Ellis Gilliland, be ready.
Commissioners, thank you for letting me speak today. It's nice to be with you. I'm just a John Q. Public. I'm a CPA. I practice in Fort Worth. My only previous experience in efforts like this is with the Sunset Commission and the State Board of Public Accountancy. I think I can tie that together in just a moment. I'm not one of those who is in favor of state parks because they are economic machines or anything of the like. I think they are great for families. I think they are great for children and for those warm and fuzzy feelings that we need to have when we get out of the city. I and my family have been in many of the state parks for a period of longer than I'd like to say, 70 years. Almost 50 years ago, I had my first date with my wife, who I will have a 48th anniversary tomorrow. That was out in Buffalo Gap. I wish you could have been with me at Copper Breaks State Park a year ago. I thought it was just an afterthought to visit the park, but we showed up, followed into the park, three van loads of young children who were wards of the state in the juvenile supervision system. They were looking at a little herd of longhorns, eyes wide, in awe, wonderful experience. And then the warden walked up and said, "Would you like me to kiss one of these longhorns on the mouth?" And you should have seen their eyes light up, and mine were not far behind them. I think he'll do it. He charged me $5 to watch. But those are the kinds of things that parks.
He saw the CPA in you.
I think you're right. I probably would have paid more than that. Those are the kinds of warm and fuzzy things that parks are supposed to do, recreation areas are supposed to do. I understand your responsibility and the limitations of the things that you can do. You maintain, and with the best of use of the funds and assets that you have at your disposal, all of these parks, and it's obvious that that's not enough. It's up to the public to properly fund these things, these activities, and to avoid closing parks and laying off staff. I understand government compromise, but I also understand fiduciary responsibility. When I became a CPA, I was required to delineate in fund accounting and in ethics. Corporate America has had several nice lessons handed to it recently. All of my 60,000 CPA friends and associates will have the same thing happen if they don't follow generally accepted fund defined money management. So my recommendation to folks in the room, all of my friends, I'm going to try to see if I can do, let's fill up the mailboxes to our congressmen, our legislators, our state senators, and so forth. If that doesn't work, I suggest we fill up the ballot boxes, because it's not right for people to spend money that they think is going to be applied to a certain activity and later find out that it's just laying there and nobody will appropriate it. Thank you.
Sir, thank you. I appreciate those comments.
I got to know something.
Did he kiss it?
He did.
Okay.
He did. Ellis Gilliland up, and Doug Du Bois will be next. Mr. Gilliland.
I was going to speaking for an animal rights organization on the internet called Texas Animal. The handout I've given you is 9 pages, and it has to do with the sale giveaway of Eagle Mountain Lake State Park. It does not pass the smell test, and I'm objecting and rebelling to it and asking for you to cancel the whole thing. You notice on page 1, your own definition says Eagle Mountain Lake State Park. State Park. The second page shows Eagle Mountain Lake State Park next door to the lake, to Country Club, Lake Country Country Club, on the outskirts of Fort Worth, as high value property. The Dallas Morning News article for the 16th of July this year, to add to the smell test, says state plan to sell lake land rankles local. That's a lie. It's not, and you finesse the reporter, all of you. It's not lake land, it's state park land. You just BS'd him and he ate it up. Michael Young is his name. Homes in the million-dollar plus rank, I'm quoting, are on one side of the property. The main thing that gives a property value, and it says that you take in approximately $80,000 a month from the gas. This is a park you wanted to give away and sell on the sneak. And disturbing is the last line in this outlined article in yellow. Instead of this price of $9 million assigned to it, instead the park can be opted to a group that proposes the best use. That scares the bejesus out of me because of Presidian. The next page I've given you shows you Mr. Fitzsimmons' organization called Presidian, which is standing, in my estimation, ready to gobble up this property. His mission in life is to develop resort property. Presidian, State Department document in your hand, formerly HLM. You can see his articles in corporation. You can see all who his buddies are, Freed, Dutton, Schlesinger, Letty, and Fitzsimmons. And you can see the various businesses he has. The thing that disturbs me is this sale has never been voted on by this board. You have never voted in public to sell this land. You've discussed it in secret. The state park thing is being played down. It is state park. Governor Perry's surplus list means nothing to you people. You're on your own. You don't have to take what Perry tells you to do. Underutilized, that's BS. Who voted to sell it? Nobody voted to sell it. It's a fraudulent sale. Fitzsimmons is due to leave this board on the February of next year. That's when he reverts back to his Presidian mode of developing resorts. And believe me, he's ready to gobble up this park because it can be subdivided 400 acres into 400 lots at $500K each. That's $200 million. You can purchase for $9 million. That's a Fitzsimmons bargain. Please kill it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gillen. Let's see, who's next up? Doug DeBose, and then Derek. Help me, Rinspies? Texas Brigades?
Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it if one of our youth hunting participants, Gloria Flores, I think she was signed up with me, if she could follow me.
Please do.
All right, thank you. Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. Cook, my name is Doug DuBois. I'm a hunt master with the Texas Youth Hunting Program, area coordinator for a 11-county area, including Travis County. Also serve on the statewide TYHP Advisory Committee, and I'm a member of the Texas Wildlife Association. You're going to hear from Gloria Flores, one of our representative youth who has participated in our program, in the last year. She's very indicative of the type of individual we're able to mentor through the Texas Youth Hunting Program. It's a great program for all participants, the youth, the adults that accompany them, our volunteer hunt masters and other volunteers, and including our landowners. And it's great for the future of hunting in Texas. Including some follow-up minority responses, there's a recent TYHP study conducted by the Texas A&M University. Some of that results reveal that about half of our participants had never hunted before. Over 90% of them rated it as the highest level on the survey. 90% of them also would like to go on another hunt. That same 90% consider themselves to be hunters, and they continue to own a Texas hunting license. 75% of our participants in the survey have gone hunting since their TYHP experience, and another 70% have gone hunting three or more times. So we are reaching our goal of perpetuating the hunting heritage in Texas. One of the goals we have now is increasing the diversity within our participants. We've achieved much of this through our valuable support through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department and the Texas Wildlife Association. We're also recruiting corporate and private sponsorships for scholarships for worthy individuals to participate in our program. And I just want to thank you all today for supporting the Texas Youth Hunting Program, for your service to the state, and for your time this afternoon. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you for all your work on youth hunting. And Commissioner Ronald?
Yeah, I want to especially thank you. We embrace your goals. It's a very challenging arena. We've said that over and over again. And thank you and everyone that's associated with that. It's a super program.
Well,
thank you.
We appreciate that, and we do it for the kids.
Yes, so, thank you.
Hello, my name is Derek Grimsby of Marion, Texas. This is my testimony in the North Texas Buckskin Brigades, which I recently attended. North Texas Buckskin Brigade, a career-setting opportunity. As I start my sophomore year in high school, my parents and teachers were telling me that I should really start planning what I wanted to do when I graduated from high school. What college? What major? They were assuming I wanted to go on to college. Needless to say, I was having a hard time deciding which direction my life would take after high school. All I knew is that I was happiest in the outdoors, no four walls surrounding me all day. I enjoy working on the farm with my grandparents, or spending time hunting, fishing, or just being outdoors. I was seriously considering a career as a ranch or wildlife manager. Last February, my mom and I pulled up information on the computer about Texas Brigade camps. I looked over the information and saw the opportunities in learning about different types of wildlife. White-tailed deer, bass, turkey, and bobwhite quail. This fit right into my agenda. Not knowing exactly what to expect at 15 years old, I never attended a camp of any sort before, so I was a bit nervous. We drove 3 hours to Albany, Texas, to the Stassi's Cook Ranch. Now this was awesome country, miles and miles of brush and no houses. I heard that this was a tough camp taught at a college level, but did not know at the time. I underestimated the tough part. We learned more about white-tailed deer than I had ever imagined. There was study on deer anatomy, behavior, population dynamics, and botany. Also included was managing wildlife habitat and land ethics. These are some of the things I expected to learn. But I was surprised. No, blown away. With the intensity and the pace of the study by the level of professionals that served as instructors and mentors. They included veterinarians, wildlife biologists, and wildlife experts. Everything was so organized and scheduled. Every minute of the day was planned for use and used constructively. The days were usually about 20 hours long, but there was so much to learn. The day went from classroom lectures to outdoor activities, such as simulated deer senses, to marching and reciting cadences. Yeah, I didn't expect marching, room checks, and memorizing cadences. I also didn't realize there would be so much emphasis on teamwork, character building, and leadership development. Within 3 weeks of the camp, I had opportunities to be a wildlife ambassador at the National Rifle Association banquet and the Texas Trophy Hunters Extravaganza. have the pleasure of spending a day with our district wildlife biologist evaluating local whitetail habitat and conducting a night census. A month ago, I would not have considered standing here in front of an audience talking, especially a formal group such as this. The Brigades has given me a tremendous amount of self-confidence and power of knowledge in a subject which I am very interested in. They plan to continue to serve as a wildlife management ambassador, conduct programs educating the public about importance of wise management practices. I have programs set up with 4-H clubs, kindergarten classes, and other groups. The Brigade's programs has influenced my plans for my future career. I not only want to be involved in wildlife management, but I'm really considering a career as a wildlife biologist. The North Texas Brigades has been a career-setting opportunity for me. I would like to recognize and thank all Texas Parks and Wildlife staff who assisted me this year in the Rolling Plains Bob White and North Texas Buck Brigades camps. Jimmy Carlin, Lane Alford, Michelle Haggerty, Dana Wright, Jim Lineberger, Kathy McGinty, Charlie Newberry, T. Wayne Schwartner, and Chip Ruthman. Thank you.
Well done, Derek. Thank you, and thanks for your work with Brigades. It's a great, great outfit. Maria Mejia, and then Audra Leonard, be ready.
Well, hello, my name is Maria Masi Mejia, and I'm from Laredo, Texas, and I'm a sophomore in the United Engineering and Technology Magnet Program. I first learned about the Texas Brigades through a TYHP hunt that I attended in October, so I applied thinking it would be an easy count. The first brigade that I attended was the South Texas Bob White Brigade. I went to it along with another 4-H member, thinking I could hang out with him. Little did I know that we were to be separated into a group or a covey. A covey is a group that is formed by a covey leader, which is an adult that has little or no experience in the program, an assistant covey leader, which is a former cadet who has come back by giving presentations and assisting with them, and us, the cadets, are bumblebees, not knowing what to expect. I was in the California Covey, an all-girl group at the South Texas Bob White Brigade. We learned everything and anything about a quail and its habitat. We did a bit of entomology and met new people. Before the camp, I was just a girl who had a teeny bit of knowledge about wildlife. I also had some leadership qualities, but when I left, I was a conservationist who was ready to tell the world about what I had learned. I was willing to do as many presentations as possible. I also received training in this by Silver Bullet, a famous quote which we have to memorize and say in front of the whole camp. Mine was, "When you get to the end of the rope, tie a knot and hold on," by Franklin D. Roosevelt. And what this means to me is that no matter what obstacles life may give you, always try your best at them. And then after that, we're supposed to give Wario, and it goes something like this. Ha! Giving presentations throughout the year, I was then able to submit a notebook or record book of everything that I did throughout the year that dealt with the brigade. I earned my way coming back to South Texas Bob White Brigade as an assistant covey leader for the California Covey. I have then received a scholarship for all my hard work. The Texas Brigade is an experience that I will never forget. It has taught me more than just quail, but it has taught me to think outside the box and using all your resources and leadership skills that otherwise I would not have. I would also like to thank all of the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department staff who assisted with this program. This year, assisting at the South Texas Bob White Brigade and Feathered Forces were David Vial, Jim Gallagher, Dale Prohauska, Robert Fettis, Steve Hall, Alan Kane, Bob Baker, Gary Calkins, Mike Eason, Bobby Eichler, Andrea Webb, Micaiah Poteet, Rusty Wood, and Keith Butler and Sean Willis. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Well done. Come, Maria. Audra Leonard and Gloria Flores, be ready.
Good afternoon. My name is Audrey Leonard, and I am from Crazy Springs, Texas. I'm here today to tell you about the experiences that I have had as a part of the Texas Brigade and the impact that those experiences have had on my life. As with most good stories, the best place to start is at the beginning. And I have to admit, when my county extension agent first told me that I might have the opportunity to go to a wildlife leadership camp, I was a little skeptical. I was raised in the heart of the South Texas brush country, so wildlife was nothing new to me. A white-tailed deer was something my parents dodged on the way home at night, and bobwhite quail were those pesky little birds that always flew up in front of my horse out in the pasture and almost got me killed. So, how interesting could a camp be that had to do with wildlife? And what in the world did bobwhite quail and white-tailed deer have to do with leadership? But I decided to give it a try, and I'm glad I did, because I can honestly tell you that the experiences that I have had with the Texas Brigades are some of the best and most rewarding experiences I've had in my life. It's really hard to put into words all that I have learned through the Texas Brigades, and it's impossible to sum it up in 3 minutes or less. So in trying to figure out how to accomplish this impossible task, I came up with something I like to call the 4 L's of the Texas Brigades. These 4 L's stand for 4 words that best sum up my Texas Brigade's experience. They are learning, leadership, lifelong friends, and life role models. I would like to touch on each of these 4 words today in hopes that I can give you a glimpse of my Texas Brigade's experience. The first L is learning. Through the Texas Brigades, I gained in-depth knowledge about wildlife habitat and evaluation, plant and seed identification, wildlife anatomy and physiology, conservation practices, hunting ethics, and much